Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Before we get started, we just want to show some love and appreciation for all our followers out there. I'd like to start with Ben Liuana, ex-Rongotai old boy. He used to go to school with us. It's been a while since we've crossed paths, but appreciate the follow, my man. Felix, who have you got, mate?
Hey, so I got another proud Rongotai old boy. He's worked his way through the Wellington ranks, represented the Hurricanes, and now applies his trade over in the UK. Proud Manu Samoa rep as well. Motu Matu'u, thank you for the love and appreciate the follow, bro. What about you, Anthony?
Another shout out to another old Rongotai boy over across the ditch now. One of the twins from back in the day. One of the troublesome two, Aleki Pua. If your twin's not listening to this podcast yet, make sure you bloody tell him to. Thanks for the love, bro. And I hope you're all well. Cheers.
And a Wellington rugby dignitary, if we've ever heard one, a Nolene Nonu from Wellington has joined the podcast devotees. You assume that they have some sort of connection to a certain All Black legend. But yeah, what a privilege to have you on board. Thanks, Nolene.
Well, thanks, guys. All right, let's rip into it.
Dummies now holds it up for Reid. Tips it off for a talent. Has Mooney on the hip. Joe Mooney. Try.
You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome for another installment of the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast as the team cast their eyes over all of the latest rugby action and deliberate over all the big talking points from the great game. Coming up, we take a look at round 11 of Super Rugby. Some mixed results for the Kiwi sides across the Tasman, including the competition heavyweights getting tipped up by a side which we best described as hapless only 12 months ago. We take stock of RTS, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Is it working in the Blues midfield? And we also do some crystal ball gazing as we look ahead to round 12. I'm Adam Burns, your host for the episode, but the linchpins are, of course, Scott Poynton and then Felix Filippo. And on debut and well prepared, may I add, is Anthony Cucurillo. Come on down, Tony C. Lads, how's the morale after that second half in Canberra?
I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty pumped after last weekend. Every weekend seems to be getting better and better, and I'm loving it. What about you, Ants? Let's hear from you, mate.
Yeah. Long time listener, first time caller. Great to be on the show.
Cliche. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. had to throw that one out there. Couldn't come up with anything better. So pretty hard to follow in the footsteps of Sonny last week. So we'll give it a shot. But yeah, we're really feeling it. I think they say that Canberra is the home of suicide in Australia, and I can see why after that drumming that was sort of dealt out.
They really
put us to the sword there. Really, really well played, and I think great revival from the Australian teams, and looking forward to the competition, especially in the Bledisloe as well. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
What did you make of the weekend action, Felix?
Oh, this is typical Kiwi arrogance at its finest day. We come over to Australia, we think that, you know, we can belt this team because we've had their number the last couple of years, and then they put on a performance like this. They smoke the Hurricanes, they beat the defending champs, and they keep it close in all the rest of the game. So the signs were there. Good on the Aussies for, taking it to us, but it's just throwing a spanner in the works and made the rest of the competition a lot more exciting now. So, yeah, should be interesting.
Fantastic. I'm just going to quickly fly through the results. Actually, the first five games, the average points difference was just over 3 points. So it was pretty competitive until, of course, the Brumbies outlasted the Hurricanes. So let's just quickly go through the results. Chiefs hanging on for a 27-25 victory over the Reds. The Western Force really taking it to the Blues, but the Blues managing to hold out for a 22-18 victory. the drawer, fast starting against the Highlanders over there in Suva in front of an electric crowd. But the Highlanders managed to revive themselves in the second 40 to win 27-24. The big result, I don't think many people picked this, but the Crusaders, the defending champions, going down to the Waratahs 24-21 in a big result. The Rebels defeating Moana Pacifica 26 points to 22. And to round out the weekend, the Brumbies 42 over the Hurricanes 25. So, as I mentioned, pretty competitive in the first five games, and was pretty competitive in the Brumbies Hurricanes game. But obviously, the Brumbies were finished quite strongly, particularly in that final quarter. So, I'm going to kick it to you guys. So, the Chiefs, Reds, both two teams in a similar position on the table. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders out of those two sides? Felix, I'm going to kick it to you. What are your thoughts?
If I had to flip a coin, I'd go with the Chiefs, purely because a championship team should not be letting a 17-point lead, go to waste and eventually lose the game. That really put a massive dent in the Chiefs, the Reds' championship hopes. Although I do think they've got a team to turn it around. We shall soon see. But the Chiefs, let's not forget, this is a team that beat the defending champions earlier. They've got a wonderful mix of youth and experience, in particular the boys up front. We've talked about the folks like Tupou Va'ai and Jordan Lord at length at previous episodes, so I won't elaborate too much on that. They've got also a quite underrated back line that doesn't scream a whole lot of X factor, but when you've got players like Brent Gatland and Alex Nankerville who are just playing some of the best rugby of their careers, this is a team that's well suited to make a real push come finals footy time, eh? So don't be surprised if we see them later on in the knockout stages of the season, eh?
The discipline really let the Reds down. I mean, it could have been a different outcome if they had addressed that. I mean, would you agree with that sentiment?
Oh, look, 100%. The Reds are guilty of poor discipline and, in particular, their handling areas. And that's one thing. If they can tidy that up, they can be a contender. But at the moment, they are very much the pretenders. I mean, turnovers conceded 15 on average in the last two games. Penalties 14 to 15. Like, there's so many turnovers, cards, one to two cards a game. You can't win games, win championships with poor execution like that. So, the Reds, they do have some X factor, but they've got to control what they can control far better.
Anthony, any players that stood out for you in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think McDermott sort of played well. The Australian scrum halves are playing really well at the moment, in my opinion. I mean, he did have a few whoopsies, sort of knocking that ball on towards the end there when they had a really good chance from that 50-22. I think the discipline for them and the handling errors is really, really plaguing them. And probably the same with all the other Australian teams. I mean, it's not uncommon, though, across the whole competition, really. The New Zealand teams are no better. they're bringing good physicality. And I think that's probably the biggest difference that we're seeing, especially across all the Australian teams this year, is they're actually bringing that physicality up front, and they're not afraid to sort of really crash it up and try and win that confrontation at the breakdown and get that go-forward ball. But, yeah, I suppose probably for me, Tucky Aho is probably looking like a really solid option, especially for the All Blacks at hooker. His ball running and line out throwing are really good. Suakula as well, looking dynamite off the back of the scrum, and his work rate around the park is pretty up there. obviously, as Felix mentioned, the two locks are really getting into their work, and they've got a really good understudy there with Akoi, good little Marist boy. Watch him. I think he's probably in line for the All Blacks, probably somewhere in the future. He keeps his sort of trajectory. So, yeah, I mean, they're all looking really, really, really strong, I think, in the Chiefs' back line, because they gel well together. And like Felix said as well, they haven't got any real standout stars apart from Leonard Brown. They're probably missing him, but I think they held it together well and turned that game around. They had that sort of momentum change with those two tries in 7 minutes after the yellow card. And that's like Felix said again, it's what really put the Reds on the back foot and lost them the game.
Can I go back to Tate McDermott for a second? I would agree. He played absolutely fantastic, and he does far more good than he does bad for his team, right? He's a shining light. But one thing I laugh every time I watch him play is, does he come off like really arrogant on the field, or is he just super confident?
Like, nah, bro, he's super confident, eh?
Yeah?
Just
or competitive? Probably a mixture of both.
He wears his heart on his sleeve. If you listen to his post-game interviews, man, he's like this close to like crying. And they haven't had a good they haven't had a good run the last couple of weeks, the Reds. And you could just tell, just puts everything into his game, and it really shows on the field, eh?
Yeah, he's got almost like a preset speech at the moment. This discipline's not good enough, and handling errors not good enough. That was my Australian accent. Anyway, moving along. I tried.
The jury is out on the accent.
Moving right along.
But I suppose Australia looks like it's going to be a really, really hard, hard place to play for some of the New Zealand sides. And that can be attested to by the next game, the Force and the Blues. Even the Blues, with a wealth of confidence, they had to withhold a fast-finishing Force team. Are the Force a team to be reckoned with moving forward for the remainder of the competition? What do you reckon, Scott?
Look, I think the Force, you know, a Force team full strength can definitely go head-to-head with most teams. They are playing, you know, a real high tempo game and do really well. You know, they got really good ball runners in Mataele, and they do very well to get them the ball in space. You know, they have an attacking 10 and how do you say his name? Resin? Like the paint, Resin. Anyway, Pasitoa. You know, he's quite capable of busting tackles as well. You got Richard Kahui in there. He'll be spreading his wisdom. And who's the old lock in there? What's his name?
Jeremy Thrush
infected the team. One thing I want to note is Richard Kahui, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it's quite interesting that he used to play for David Rennie. Is that a coincidence that this team can go well? And there's some Dave Rennie, I don't know, salt and pepper in there somewhere? What do you guys think?
I think you might be onto something there, Scott.
Mate, I've seen the wood through the trees.
Player coaches are rare to find at this level, so you know Richard Kahui's found himself a little niche.
That's it. Is he 36 years old? Must be around that age,
something like that.
And same for Jeremy Thrush. What do you think about the Force anyway, Ants?
I think they really brought the physicality to the Blues again. Like, it sounds a bit cliche, but I think the Australian teams are doing a really good job of that, and they really showed that this week. They were really up in the Blues' faces. They put the pressure on at D time. They're winning a lot of the breakdowns. They're committing numbers to the breakdowns, especially. They're really putting pressure on there. I think they actually looked like a really viable team. I don't think the Blues probably played as well as they have. They probably didn't create as many opportunities as they have been. But in saying that, the Force, again, it was probably a more of a compliment to them that their defense was quite overbearing and the pressure really showed through. But in saying that, the Blues had some really standout players in terms of like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Akira Ioane had a good a really good game for the first one back off his injuries. But yeah, I think some real good like positives for both teams out of that contest, and it was really quite a good game to watch, even though there wasn't a hell of a lot of points scored. It was still really a good game of rugby to watch.
I was waiting for Ants to say they are a real force to be reckoned with. I was waiting for it, but you didn't do it.
One day, jock at a time, please, guys. Too much for me.
I started with the cliche.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I thought I'd better let you off with that one. I didn't want to bring too many.
were you letting one of us take that one?
Yeah. Yeah, well, kind of, I was trying to like get you followers, not unfollow magic.
Shots fired. Eh? You mentioned RTS there, Anthony, and I mean Felix. Can you elaborate a bit on whether this project is coming off, and within the context of, I suppose, the Blues' credentials as possible title contenders? Is it working?
Look, my original thought about Roger was that he was going to come in and slot in at fullback. I think that's probably one flaw of the RTS project, but he proved me wrong in that first game against the Hurricanes, where his silky smooth feet just got him over the game line. It's not something that we're so used to seeing. I think he's a class player and he's got all the tools, and his experience at high levels suggests that he will make the adjustments necessary to you know, push for the next level. Am I saying that he's a shoo-in for the All Blacks number 12 jersey? I'm still undecided. I think I'd rather answer that question towards the end of the season. But RTS, yeah, pure class, man. Can't wait for this guy to really, you know, take off and start to take over games, eh?
What do you boys reckon? We'll start with you, Scott. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, is it working?
Well, he's the man. Like, I just love the offload game that he brings back into the game. He keeps the ball, you know, in play and the Blues going forward. And that try he set up for, I think it was AJ Lamb on the wing, correct me if I'm wrong, going through two players and flicking it out back there. That was just, yeah, everything you want from that man. Now, he's going to grow and grow and grow, and it just makes it even better that he's outside Bodie and inside Rico. So RTS on the rise.
Yeah, we saw some of those silky skills and some of those Blues movements, especially when he had space. I mean, what were you most impressed with his performance on against the Force, Anthony?
I think he's really quite a natural in the 15 game as well now. Obviously, he's probably still got a few reads in that he needs to pick up on, but I think he's pretty well there. I mean, he's so adaptable coming from leading a Warriors team at fullback and then coming and playing in the midfield in a Super Rugby team is no mean feat at all. I think it's pretty amazing. So I think he's done really, really well. Like, his defense is fantastic. He doesn't miss tackles, or not really that I've seen, or nothing sort of outstanding. I think you saw when he got thrown that hospital pass, and there was a bit of a rush D. I can't remember who came up on him on D for the Force, but he sort of took that ball, stepped around, and sort of made the opportunity on the outside for setting up that first try. And then he was there after he distributed the ball to clean out. And then I think he did a pick and go, and then I think he ended up playing halfback and passed the ball off, and then he moved back into position. So I think he's really well utilized. I agree with Scott. I probably had my hang-ups about him at first, and I was probably a little bit wary, but his fast feet and that are really helping him get over the gain line. I was probably more of a traditional 12 man, where I was sort of like Nonu and Lau Mape for their sort of really just straight running style and just sort of bash it up. But Tuivasa brings something different, and again, like that offload to AJ Lamb was something else. And if he can keep sort of doing that, developing on that game, I think we've really got a fantastic midfielder for New Zealand rugby.
If we're talking about high honours, I mean, two other players, one of them coming back on the weekend was Akira Iwani, and also you can throw Caleb Clark into the mix. I mean, how important is it for these two guys to have a great season for the Blues as they vie for All Black selection?
When we're talking about Akira, like, he missed a lot of the 2022 season and this season so far. And I guess in his absence, we have seen a lot of talent, you know, start to shine and people put their hands up. So it was actually really critical for him to come back and have a solid game, do his core role really well, add his strengths into the game that made him an All Black, you know, which is his physicality and his ball running. And from my point of view and from what we saw in the weekend, I think he did look hungry for the ball in hand. He picked up a meat pie. He made 10 out of 10 successful tackles, didn't miss any, and won a turnover. So for me, that's a big pass mark for Akira against the Force. And let's hope that continues because we need that enforcer going into the ABs, into the World Cup. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that point with Akira Iwane. I think it's a little bit different in Caleb Clark's case, purely because outside of that red card he got against Moana Pacifica that led to his ban, he hadn't really had a bad game. It was more so, I think, from the rugby public and so much that you could say the coaches as well. It's like, what other tools does this guy have? We know he can run and gun. He's pretty solid on defense, but some of those nuances out on the wing, such as getting in position, chasing kicks, being an aerial threat, we hadn't really seen that from Caleb Clark. So I have him a little bit closer than Akira Iwane to a black jersey. I think we're missing some speed and power in that back line. And I think you're going to see him really step it up a notch in the second half of the season, given that he's been out for, what, 3 or 4 weeks. So, I really like what I see from Caleb Clark. I just feel like he probably doesn't need to push his case maybe as hard as Akita. I could be wrong. And Anthony, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both probably 95% of the way there. Akira, for me, is a real key part probably of our upcoming sort of All Black squad. We sort of need another number six enforcer, another Jerome Kaino or another Jerry Collins, as to speak. Someone who's really, you know, on the field just to really destroy people and bring that physicality back into the forward pack. I think we've been probably missing that a little bit over the last few years. And again, in Caleb Clark, so explosive and such an attacking asset. Like, you can't really, you can't coach what he brings to the field. And those thighs, man, like, that is some...
Hey, keep imagine. Your pants on there, mate. Keep your pants on.
But imagine, like tackle guys like that. I mean, I was never any that good at rugby anyway, but you go to try and tackle guys like that, and it makes it hard when their thighs are bigger than tree trunks. So,
yeah,
go low, they said.
Yeah, go low. But yeah, I think probably he needs to really assert his dominance in terms of like taking high balls, and his defense maybe a little bit leaves lacking. But in terms of like New Zealand attacking wingers, I think he's pretty well up there. Him and Suvarisa as explosive and as you're going to get.
Nice. Do you guys think it's like real important for us to have like wingers that are actually wingers? And not like a Jordy Barrett sitting on the wing, or a McKenzie, 100%. Or is that seems to be where we're going? Eh? It's like we've got all this team of utility players, but no specialist players.
Yeah, we need to go back to specialists. That's the Northern Hemisphere teams are doing, and every time we play them, they're like pretty much killing us, you know. So,
Yeah.
And it goes back to, like, in my opinion, like a national sort of game tactic, whereas, you know, like, we've built an All Blacks team to be mobile and throw the ball around and sort of play from anywhere, which we were doing for quite a while, and that was winning us games. And then we're sort of gone back to this big forced into playing this sort of older style of rugby, and the physicality sort of winning out on that. And we're a bit smaller and probably less physical than we have been in the past, so that's really costing us. So yeah,
I think unless your name is Ari Stavia, Jordy Barrett, Will Jordan, or Rico Ioane, then you should be playing in your specialized positions. I don't think no one outside of that four has the same level of versatility, and if they are not 100% into that position, then there's a potential of them being a liability at the highest level. So
yeah,
specialists over generalists. I think, yeah, we've got enough, you know, versatility with those four, and everyone else could just stay in that one position. But hey, that's just one man's opinion, right?
That's all it is.
We all remember how well it worked out when we tried to turn Christian Cullen into a utility.
That's
in 1999.
Yeah.
Exactly. It didn't work.
Obviously. Exactly.
I say my memory is pretty shit. What happened?
That was the end of his career, wasn't it? To make way for Mills Muliaina and, yeah, John Mitchell. What were you thinking?
Oh. Yeah, but really interesting thoughts around the Caleb Clark and Akira Ioane situation. We'll have to wait and see what happens. The draw and the Highlanders, the atmosphere in Suva was just unreal. You know, that's exactly what this competition needed, especially from a product point of view.
Yeah.
In the Jura, you know, they started off so explosively. I mean, do they have more X factor than the Highlanders, for example? Scott, I mean, you know, would you agree with that?
Hey, like 1,000%. The Jura need to play that way. That works to their strengths. You know, before the Jura, you know, you may have seen a side like the Hurricanes maybe play somewhat similar. But what's catching most teams off is their ability just to keep that ball alive. They play from anywhere. They get freakish offloads away. They run 80 meters for a try with ease. You know, even their props and hookers can probably do it as well. I just love watching this team play, and I look forward to seeing them take the field and seeing players like Habosi and Kalinga and Ravovo and even Frank Lamani at halfback there. I'm really looking forward to watching those guys for years to come. And I'm also interested to see how their international team goes, or the growth that we'll see after this season, or even once we get to the World Cup, because we know what happened to Japan and Argentina when they had a team in this competition. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, Drua, man, I love watching them, and it is great for the game from a viewer's point of view.
Anthony, is it panic stations for Tony Brown and co, as they look to cement a top eight position for the Highlanders, because they looked pretty vulnerable against the Jura for large periods of that game?
Yeah, I mean, they did look pretty vulnerable. I mean, it can't be easy going over there and playing in that heat and humidity and in front of that big home crowd. I can imagine the energy over there must have been something else. I mean, they have been really unlucky in a couple of their results early on in the season, I think, especially that one that lost to the Hurricanes the other week. I probably wouldn't be panicking if I was Tony Brown, because they probably know in themselves they're actually playing pretty decent rugby. They're just getting probably the wrong turn of the card, so to speak, on the week, or whatever. They're just having a bit of bad luck. They probably could do a little bit better for themselves in their attacking options. But in saying that, I mean, what can they panic and what can they do, essentially? I think they're pretty well stuck where they are. in my opinion, they don't really bring a lot to the table in terms of attack. I think they're probably more of a defend and sort of wait for another team to make a mistake and then sort of score off that type of team. But yeah, the Drua really brought it to them on the weekend. That was really impressive to watch that first try where they went 80 metres and scored. And then that other try at the end was very, very impressive. So yeah, got to give it to the Drua. That's some really, really impressive rugby to watch, and they are very, very dynamic.
How tricky, Felix, is it going to be for teams to go up to Suva and play in those conditions?
If we use last week's game as an example, it really took the Highlanders like three quarters of the game to like get into it. And I feel like the Drua would learn from that experience where they probably need to add like more to their attack and really capitalize on that, their energy, their atmosphere, and get a really comfortable lead, because gone are the days where a 14 point advantage was a safe bit of a safety net. Guys, you know, if you're playing a team like Fiji and Drua, you know, the Blues, the Hurricanes, these teams that are renowned for like broken play, long range tries, they'll cut that deficit in just about no time. We saw that with the Hurricanes Blues match. We all know how that one ended. So I think, I don't know when the Fijian and Drua next play at home, but I do feel sorry for the next team that has to play them over there, because they're building something special there, that's for sure. And such a great way to introduce, you know, Fijian rugby to, you know, the Super Rugby stage.
The next game is in Lautoka. This is the Chiefs, I believe. You know, the other thing I reckon is, and this may explain the Highlanders' slow start, but you know when you go to Fiji, right, everyone's just like, bula, bula, and they put the lays on you, and you're like pretty relaxed, and they're all really nice to you, and it's like a holiday destination, so you're like half holiday mode. I don't personally think of going to Fiji and play rugby, but maybe that's their secret weapon. They're just so nice. They get relaxed. And then they hit you.
Get you into island time.
Like, island time. Yeah. Like, we'll win the game.
Don't worry, the bus will come in 5 minutes.
Bola, fuck you, bola.
I never thought about that.
Awesome. And we go to the game of the week. Huge results over in Sydney at Leichhardt Oval, I think it was. The Cauldron, yep. The Rugby League Cauldron. Waratahs tipping up the Crusaders. And I suppose the question is, the Waratahs, are they able to reclaim their status as Australia's? I know they didn't have it last year, definitely not. But are they able to reclaim their status as Australia's premier team? Anthony, what do you reckon?
In my opinion, I don't think so. If Mwanga had played, they probably would have seen a different result altogether. I know that's probably a cliche thing to say as well, but at the same time, you know, you can't really base their dominance on one sort of game like that. They were looking really good. They again, they had some good forward play, getting some good go forward ball. The halfback, what's his name?
Jake Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon. Yeah, like we were saying before, I think when we were discussing points for the week, we were talking about him possibly picking up some points. So, as the Australian Premier team, I would say probably no. It's probably more the Brumbies or the Reds at this stage, but they are there or thereabouts anyway.
Now, Felix, the Crusaders had a few big names out against the Waratahs. I mean, can they sustain, I suppose, their rotation policy in their squad against some of these Australian sides? Or what do you reckon about that?
Oh, look, this is the Crusaders we're talking about, eh? Championship yeah. City down there in Christchurch. So I'm not worried at all. I do think perhaps this game against the Waratahs is a bit of a blip on their season. I don't think a red card and a yellow card late in the game with the scores so tight. You probably won't see that again from this type of team. They're disciplined, just let them down. And whoever that guy was, oh, geez, what's his name? That reserve, he came in the second half and he was the one that got red carded. Darzell. Geez, he was lucky to get away with the first one, that first head high. Yes. And then he does it straight away. Like, in a few tackles later, I thought, damn, I've never seen a brain explosion like that from a Crusaders play ever.
We're not going to see
probably not. Probably not. And so these like minute details that affected, you know, that last 5-10 minutes of the game, very un-Crusader-like. So I think, you know, resting guys like Mwanga is something that they have to do, but you still look at the rest of that back line and Havili, Goodhue, two All Blacks, Sevi Reese, Lester Fayanganuku, and Will Jordan out the back. You haven't lost much there. They probably should have won this game and they probably feel the same way too. So expect them to bounce back this weekend for sure.
Hey, does Tane Edmed, does he win Best Ugly Cry of the Year?
Ranger,
surely.
Pretty cool. The best looking Ranger.
Oh, that guy. But there's so many of them at the moment, eh?
Taking over that one team. Gosh.
Yeah. His backstory is pretty cool, though, right? Like, his dad used to play league there for the Canberra Raiders. No. Canberra Raiders? Who was it? His dad was like a player anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he spent a lot of time there. Do you reckon that's what's missing from our team is like that emotional connection to a town or like a team or a city? You know, like half the players in all our like our super teams are like all from different parts of the country. There's so many good scouts out there at the moment. And I don't know. Are we missing that at the moment? What do you think? The wrong track yet?
I think there's enough like homegrown talent, and we can certainly say that like for the Hurricanes, maybe not so much the Crusaders, but you've got your hometown staples, let's just call them your Adi Saviers, the Ioannes of the world, and you know guys like Richie Mwanga who've come through the system as well. So just enough home bred talent to really claim, you know, that sort of hometown feeling to the Super Rugby jersey. Different story at ITM level, but probably won't see any ugly cries from the Kiwi teams, that's for sure.
No Sam Kane, no Adi Savea. I reckon Adi Savea would be the closest there. He's pretty in touch with his emotions. Pretty open publicly.
Go back and watch that that post-match interview and that thrilling finish against the Crusaders. There were definitely tears in his eyes then.
It's like half anger though as well.
Yeah, true. Tears are tears, man.
That wasn't like a soft emotion. It was like, oh, you'll stay away from home. Even Scott Barrett, when he was like, give the little sideways smile and the wave, eh? Like, didn't even go.
And he gave him the handshake. I was like, oh, Scott Barrett, don't do it.
Yeah. Artie, like, barely looked him in the eye, just shook his hand. Yeah. Barrett's ruining his life. This one moves away.
Yes.
He destroys that game for him. And I don't know, Geordie's yet to. I don't know, hasn't won him a title yet. There you go. Move along.
Better out than in with the emotions, I say. Keep it. Yeah. Okay. And Anthony, I mean, how much has the Crusaders' discipline or lack thereof in recent times, I suppose, impacted their recent form, I guess?
Yeah, for me, it's been quite interesting to watch, actually, after Dog Roll's couple of indiscretions there. I really thought that they'd probably have it ironed out. Obviously, you can't control everything people do in a team. But like you say, Dizelle, that was a bloody brain explosion. And it's really costing them at the moment. But like I think Felix probably highlighted it really well before. This is the Crusaders. They've got that culture. They've got that sort of grit where they'll just analyze this for what it is. They'll make their changes and they'll come back during the week and they'll come back stronger again. I think this is a real, probably a good adversity test for Scotty and the boys. He's really got to sort of show why he's sort of that next pick for New Zealand rugby as well. He's got a bit to prove here as well. You know, like there's probably a little bit more lying on this than meets the eye. I mean, in my opinion anyway. But be quite interesting to see what happens. I mean, just on the Crusaders, I mean, I don't know if anyone else really noticed it, but I think Matera probably had the worst game he's ever had for them. He had a shocking game, sort of missing tackles. I think he was probably cost them a try early on.
He got a yellow, didn't he?
He got a yellow, yeah. And then he got, it was sort of early on in the game and they scored in the corner and he was sort of meandering about. I've never sort of seen a loose forward meander about sort of like that, sort of being indecisive about where he should be and who he should be marking up against, because he was sort of just floating along the back of the defensive line there, and they sort of just shifted the ball and scored in the corner. For me, I thought he was really off, but again, you know, it's just one player. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if he was sort of benched next week as well, sort of going along that Crusaders culture, really analytical sort of type of changes they are. You know, they'll see something wrong and they'll change it straight away, and that's what I like about them.
I guess that goes to show what kind of player he is, eh? You know, likes that stuff in the tight, especially around the fringes and the breakdown. But the moment you put him out, like, you know, out in the wide channels, it's probably a little less experience as far as, you know, his positional play and decision-making on defense as well, whereas you could probably put like a Kira Ioane or an Adi Savera out there and they'd be perfectly, you know, able to make those defensive plays. Still a quality player though, but that's probably, you know, I can probably see the Crusaders maybe adding that to his responsibilities after having such a strong game the week before.
Yeah,
because he's well established in that area. It's more just fleshing out the rest of his game. So, a lot of work-ons there. But, man, it's pretty scary to think that this team can get better, especially someone like Pablo Matera. Jeez. I don't want to take anything away from the Waratahs, man. They've thoroughly enjoyed this victory.
Yeah.
You know, they had such a strong outing the week before, and they back it up by taking down the defending champs. Like, we can criticize the Crusaders as much as we want, but ultimately the Waratahs just wanted it more, eh? And obviously the passion during the game and during that post-match interview with Tane Edmund just shows how much rugby is still left in these Australian sides. So,
Hooper's leading them really well as well, isn't he? You know, like, he's pretty influential around the park. He's sort of into everything, and you know, he's got his mug in there everywhere. So
he's being complimented.
The key thing and I was just about to say that, Scotty stole the words right out of my mouth. Like, he's not doing it alone. You've got guys around him, like the blindside flanker who was also outstanding in this game, Charlie Gamble, I think his name is. And in the centers, you know, if they've got some real threats around this around the park, you know, Isaiah Parisi had that really nice sort of drawing two defenders and then a nice little offload off the top to, I think it was for their first try. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just building really well. They've grown their confidence throughout the season, and this is sort of like the cherry on the top. So expect more things from these guys. And I really do think they really want to get back to being the number one Aussie side, eh?
Same for that number 14, eh? What's his name again, Felix?
Waka.
The setup, and he missed.
Oh, man. Nah, Waka Nidawase. There we go. I can read it when I read it.
Where is he from?
I look at it and read it. Yeah, he's like half Fijian, half Aussie, isn't he? I'm just saying that because he's fair skinned.
Wild guess, Felix.
The English last name and traditional full surname, that's their giveaway, eh?
To not alienate our fan base in Christchurch, but I don't think there would have been many tears outside of the Canterbury region to see the Crusaders lose at the weekend, just to be perfectly honest. But that's what happens. Moving on to the Rebels and Moana Pacifica game, Reece Hodge, is he ready to take over the team and become quote unquote that guy? Scotty, what do you reckon? Is Reece Hodge the real deal?
Yeah, he has to be the Hodgemeister, I reckon. He'll become that. But we're not sure, you know, sort of the status of Matt Tamua. But hopefully he'll come back soon. But yeah, they do need a general on that side. But I mean, every team does. And I don't know if you guys watched, but he was slotting in a lot this weekend into the playmaker role in their general phase play, which I thought was really good. And we've seen him do that at international level. So we know he's got the capability and he can do it really well. They almost beat somebody, the ABs, with him at 10 in Auckland. And but the other thing I really noticed as well, he was also taking really good control of their kicking game. His boot, is just uncanny. And he gave their team a lot of good, really good ball within the Moana's half. Sitting up really well. So I reckon Reece Hodge, he's the real deal. He just needs a few more combatants to go run alongside him. He's got Andrew Callaway that'll help him out. Just needs a few more, I think, in that back line to really help him. But no, he kind of reminds me of actually a bit of a Geordie Barrett. I mean, I think the Hurricanes probably have a lot more expected outside of him, but yeah, they're sort of similar players. They're really tall. They're all over the park. They run, they kick, they do everything. Reece Hodge, he is that guy. He could be that guy. Cocorillo, AC dog. Am I on the right track, man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not really too qualified to answer this question, to be honest with you, but from what I've seen of Reece Hodgman, I think he's really quite good. He's scored a fantastic try on the weekend there, and his kicking game, as you mentioned, is pretty on point. I think one thing we probably get lost on is the fact that we need to kick points to win games, and that's probably a real struggle for the New Zealand teams, in my opinion, at the moment, is to find a goal kicker who is consistent at international level. And the Australians probably have one in Reece Hodge, I would say, not to curse him or anything. And he's definitely missed a few, but I think he's probably on their way to being quite a constant light for the Australian team and for the Rebels as well. So, yeah. Can agree with you more there, Scotty.
Mate, don't doubt yourself. Two front rowers commenting on an outside back. We're well qualified. Don't underestimate the front row, mate. The brain's working, but the hands maybe not.
we've been doing their work for years and watching them, mate. So, yeah. It is.
Wishing we could run and kick and pass. So.
In terms of Moana Pacifica, though, especially, you know, it wasn't a comprehensive loss, but they came pretty close to snatching this one. Felix, I mean, does this knock their confidence a bit, you reckon? Can they bounce back, do you feel?
If you look just at the scoreline and not how the last 5 minutes transpired, then yes. But if you watch the last 5 minutes, then absolutely no. the way that they let that game slip when they had a chance to take the lead at the end is just, it's not what you'd expect from a Super Rugby level. Sure, this is their first season in the competition, but a lot of these players have been in and around either the ITM level or sort of in the fringes at Super Rugby level at different franchises. So, man, real critical for the bro. What's his name? Reserve First Five from Hawke's Bay. Sorry? Yeah, Lincoln McClatchy didn't ice the game when the momentum was fully on their side. And
not McClatchy.
Yeah, not very clutch at all. So I've like from the outset, I
thought of that one, but I was like, no, I won't say it.
I had high hopes for this team, and I was like wishing and praying for them to get over the Melbourne Rebels, because that was a winnable game for them. So now they've got to dig themselves out of a hole against some tougher competition. So, things to work on in the Moana camp. Yeah, I don't know what the solution is, but they seem to do all right in the fringes. However, yeah, sometimes that impact off the bench just isn't forthcoming, unfortunately.
You reckon McClutchy will learn a lot from that kick? I mean, you'd rather do it then, wouldn't you, instead of a Super Rugby final?
Should just do it at training, eh, bro?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'd probably rather do it there, but yeah, you got to feel.
Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? So one of his boys was like, make sure. And he didn't make sure.
Oh, no.
Good. You know, some of the things that you should never say to a kicker, and especially in those high-pressure situations, poor guy should have made that kick. Anyways.
Yeah, I remember doing that to James, my brother James.
Right, everyone sees it.
He was like right in front, and it was like a penalty or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, don't miss. And I walked off, and he butchered it. It's like 20 meters out right in front. And then he told me after the game, he's like, it's because you shoot something to be too. I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Lesson learned, guys. Yeah. Don't put off your kickers.
But I reckon, for this Moana team, though, their goal now should be to beat anyone they can, but they've got to beat the Drua. Go for the Pacifica bragging rights for the offseason.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, if that game's played in Fiji, then good luck.
That game is going to be mental.
Yeah, man. I don't see the Moana Pacifica getting up. But even if they have Tava Tava Nawai starting, different story. He was electric, eh?
So good. Where does he come from? Never seen him.
He plays his ITM down in Tasman.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah. Bro, so many fins going up, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that. Because then you straight away, he's Tasman. Can you see that guy?
Mm.
And did you see the one from Fletcher Newell, the Stags? The old,
sequel. Oh, yeah, true. What's the hand gesture for the Lions?
Oh, well.
Felix. You wish, bro.
Well, they play like it sometimes, so.
Hi.
But that Moana team, how good is Leoleofano been for them? Leading from the front, eh? He's fantastic. I mean, he's really, really steering the ship there for them. And Carter, Carter. What an impact, eh? He could really be something if he sort of continues on and they keep sort of nurturing him. He's along with some of those other outside backs they've got, the Tava Tava Nawai and Fainga Nuku as well.
Mm.
That is a danger.
Oh, yeah. Solomon Ikata when he came on. Oh, dangerous.
Yeah. Well, he set up that not so McClutchy would have been fire.
Again.
Yeah, again. Good on you. Good on you. I didn't realize you were talking about Qatar when you said Carter. I was like, who the hell?
Yeah,
Qatar?
Same.
Oh, yeah, Qatar. Sorry, that's my fucking.
Bro, who's the white guy here? Damn.
Qatar. Oh, my bad.
Nah, they've got to get Danny Tuala back in the centers, though, with Levi Omua, Lelefano. Yeah. And then you got Tava Tawanawa on the wing, and then even Tima Fanganuku. I mean, he's almost just as good as his brother. Deadly backline, man. Far out. Just got to get that discipline and that ball handling under control. Next year. It's their year.
Yeah, man.
Here we go again. It's their year.
Pretty impressive for a first year, and same for Drew. For them, I think they really take some, not that the season has ended yet by any means, but I think they can really take some heart from some of these games that they've played. They're playing out of their skin, and they're not getting thumped by any means. Well, they were at the start of the season, but not at the moment. So, yeah, really good result for them, I think.
Yeah. I actually don't think the scorelines like really reflect how hard those wins have been for a lot of the New Zealand teams, though. They've been physical, man.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you see, like, from even like in that the Rebels Moana game, that how many injuries there were just from like big tackles and just like the collision, you know? And that just goes to show again that the Australian teams are just not afraid to bring the physicality up front, and that's probably a big plus for them this season. And that Moana team is no easy feat, sort of in that aspect either. So pretty impressive to watch, I think, from that aspect too.
Yeah. Do you guys actually think that the New Zealand teams have like softened up a little bit, like the arrogance of the New Zealand team?
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that the New Zealand derbies were far more fierce, eh?
Yeah, it's a combination though, eh? Because they have to rest their All Blacks.
Yeah. We thought there was going to be easy games, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Went hundies on the Kiwi Derbies and then brought the second string guys through. And yeah. Well, it's
competition
made...
needs, though.
Yeah, exactly. Blood those young guys now while they get the chance.
And moving on to the final game of the round now, we've got four Hurricane supporters on the podcast, so we're going to be as impartial as possible. I don't know how many tears were shed late on Sunday afternoon after that second half, but the Brumbies outlasting the Hurricanes 42 points to 25. In terms of the Brumbies, they had plenty of star performers. Scotty, is Noah Lolosio, is he going to be first choice fly half for the Wallabies?
I think so, eh? Like, I was actually thinking about that in the pregame when they interviewed him. I thought he sounded really mature. I think, what is he, 23, 24 now? He's been on the stage for a little while. But he just seemed very comfortable in front of the camera and, you know, what he was talking about in pregame. And then he went on the paddock and just looked like the international player that he is. You know, he stood out. And I think one thing that is working in his favour is his goal kicking. Yeah. And we know that that's absolutely important in Test rugby, and a lot of games are won by that small margin. And when I look at, you know, past teams that have had a good 10 and had success, you know, you look at Daniel Carter of the All Blacks, you've even got Michael Liner for Australia, Andre Pollard, South Africa, Donnie Wilkinson, like England. Andre Pollard, no? Mate, they're world champs at the moment. He can take that.
I'm just shocked that you mentioned Michael Liner.
Old school, mate. That's what Google
yeah,
pulled
that
up.
That is old school.
Hey, that's in the 90s.
That is old school.
Liner from General Lumber Rugby. There you go.
Liner. Oh, of course.
Of course. And Owen Farrell, Johnny Sexton, like all these teams, when they've had good number 10s, they've had some really good success. So I really hope that, Nola Lasiel just comes out of a shell this international season. And he's the man we want him to be. What do you reckon, Felix?
I agree 100%. And we've mentioned it before in a previous episode where we were very critical of this guy last season. And what a response he's had to his critics in the second game against a Kiwi side. He Yeah, he just looks so comfortable out there now. He's not rushing things. He's not overplaying his hand, and just making the right play constantly. I think if you've got a staple number 10 like Noah Lolasia, who's only 24, this guy's going to be here for at least two World Cup cycles. So when I'm looking at this, not just the Brumbies, but this young core that the Aussies are building, you know, they've got at second five, Hunter Paisami, who's electric, Len Ikitau, who also had a strong season last season, and guys like Andrew Callaway, they're all roughly the same age group, and they've sort of built this team the same way the French side has, you know, built their Six Nations winning side, is to just pick a generation, blood them together, and get them through adversity, challenge, the wins and losses, just get them through that cycle. So hopefully they can blossom into these world-class players that people like Dave Rennie believe them to be. So yeah, the best is yet to come with this guy. And I really do feel like an idiot for criticizing him last year. So there you go. Great way to respond.
Or he's actually only 22 years old. That makes it even crazier.
That's crazy.
That what were you doing crazy. At 22, Felix? Anything interesting?
Nothing like that, man. I think I was just hanging up my boots, actually. Yeah. No way I'm making a Wallaby squad at that age. This guy's the man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In terms of the Hurricanes, though, should we be concerned about the demolition job that the Brumbies ultimately dished out? And I suppose how much it's going to hurt their title run, I guess. Felix, what do you reckon?
I mean, it's really hard to say. Ultimately, I think for the Hurricanes, they play the two best sides that Australia has to offer, and you know they got a victory against the Reds, weren't so good against the Brumbies, so hoping that they could win the remaining games, and that should see them somewhere, you know, comfortable, maybe in the sixth or seventh spot. I think that's probably the ceiling for them. And as we know, it's anyone's game in the playoffs, and hoping that we probably avoid a Kiwi side. So that's my best case scenario for the Hurricanes. But yeah, they can't afford to drop any more games now, considering that what you've got, like the Chiefs are probably going to start heading up the ladder. And that eighth spot, which is currently held by the Rebels, is, they'll probably be pushing for higher honours as well. So I don't know if that's a good thing. They probably needed, you know, somewhat like humble pie. You know, they're close. Their losses this season have been close. I think the biggest margin was maybe that first week loss against the Crusaders. I think there was a 10-point loss, but and they've probably felt that they've been there or thereabouts as far as being an elite Kiwi side, you know, only just losing to the Chiefs. You know, they dropped that game against Moana Pacifica, and currently the only team to beat the Blues. So yeah, a little bit of humble pie will serve them well, actually. So yeah, we'll see how they respond.
Anthony, we've got some serious problems at first 5/8. Jackson Garden Bishop probably had a day to forget. I mean, what's his future prospects like in the at this particular franchise moving forward, you reckon?
I mean, for me, we've gone from having Bowden Barrett, obviously not last year, but the year before, going from having Bowden Barrett to Jackson.
Night and day.
Yeah, exactly. Completely night and day. I think probably when I'd really probably sort of finished with him was when he had that runaway try, and he kept turning and looking back and ran towards the corner and then got tackled out. I can't remember who it was against, forgive me, fellas, but that was probably the real turning point for me with him. And then after getting smoked by Valentini as well on that chase. I mean, for me, this is a professional game. These guys are athletes, and in my eyes, it doesn't look like he actually wants to be there a lot of the time. I think he's almost just doing it because he feels like he has to, and it's sort of a part of him.
He's being paid.
Yeah.
He's being paid.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a job, isn't it? I mean, he's a good club player, don't get me wrong. I've watched him play numerous times for Norths and at a club level, and he's fantastic. He really does bring an excellent game there. But I think in terms of this professional game, his days are probably very limited. Yeah.
why does he look like so out of shape? Yeah. Somebody trains him. Like, I really don't understand that, eh? Rugby players train like day in, day out. The fitness is so crazy, but he just looks like he sits at the pub and drinks beers and then goes and plays a super game. It's really, really odd.
Yeah, well, he's got a pretty like different body shape to his brother that plays for the Highlanders, doesn't he?
His
brother looks like a lot more of a physical presence and a lot more of an athlete than he gets around the park a lot better as well. He's got to go.
His days are numbered, mate. Aiden Morgan is the future with Ruben Love. And I'm sure there'll be some joker from the Manawa 2 that pops out somewhere. It always happens. Manawa 2 is the breeding ground.
Yeah. we've taken your loose forwards and that's it.
Yes, that's right. I actually met the Turbos coach tonight, Peter Russell. Manawa 2 Turbos coach. He was running the Small Blacks course. And then I was going to ask him if he wanted to jump on for a little chat, but then I dropped the nuts. So I've got to wait till next time. Yeah.
So maintain that relationship, Scott. Maintain that relationship.
Don't worry. I found his email online. I'll just send him an email, see what happens. Now, I should see him around the rugby park. He's pretty big on safety, in rugby, and he's real big on giving back to the rugby community. So, it'd be quite interesting chat.
Yeah, and just interesting. Plenty of talking points from all the games at the weekend. We'll get to the MVPs in a minute, but I'll just quickly run through the how the table looks. So we've got the Blues on top with 40 points, followed by the Brumbies on 39. The Crusaders on 34 in third place, followed by the Chiefs on 32. The Reds in fifth on 31. The Waratahs in sixth on 28. The Hurricanes still hanging on to the top eight position on 24 points in seventh. And the Melbourne Rebels rounding out the top eight on 15. And then as far as the bottom four are concerned, it is the Western Force on 14, the Highlanders at 1 point further back, and rounding out the bottom two is the Fijian Drua on 7 and Minor Pacifica on 5. So in terms of the top performers at the weekend, I'm going to let you guys, I know you guys are very opinionated in terms of who impressed the most, but Felix, you were pretty impressed with Rob Valentini, and how impressive was he at the weekend?
Just pure physical, and that's the best way to sum up his game. Probably one of the better loose forwards going around, and isn't shy to hang about in the loose. Out wide and put him some real pace. So he gets 3 points today because of his excellent vision, seizing the opportunity and noticing that there is no fullback at home. So he decides to chance his arm against a pair of forwards and a sweeping first five who just lacks the top end speed. Yeah, I've never seen... Well, gosh, who normally kicks like that? So I've seen Artie chip and chase. Not many other flankers can yeah, seize up the opportunity, execute, and then dot down right at the other end. What, that was like a 50-meter try at least. And so today he takes out maximum points for his brilliant, brilliant try.
How did you like at the weekend, Anthony? Who's your top performer?
Well, this is a little bit of a weird one, actually. I picked Jake Gordon, Waratah's halfback there. I mean, I think he just rode the wave really, really well for the Waratahs. Just sort of that forward wave and that continuity that they sort of bring to the game for themselves in terms of getting really good go-forward ball, and he was really good at distributing that. Obviously, Nick White was probably really on par with him as well. I think he really brought the pain to the Hurricanes in terms of his distribution. You only had to look at that try. He's pretty much ripped the ball out of a ruck that was sort of tumbling around, and then he sort of distributed the ball out, and they sort of scored with an overlap. But Jake Gordon was, for me, pretty fantastic. I think the Aussies are really spoiled choice again for halfbacks, and he really got the boys up on the weekend. So 2 points for me for him.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of those Australian scrum halves were at their dynamic best at the weekend, caused a lot of problems for the New Zealand teams around the fringes. We were talking about Akira Ioane. He was a player who stood out for you, Scott.
He is the man himself, the big enforcer on his return at Super Rugby. He gets himself 1 point this week in our MVP. So what a start for the man. First game back and he's already raking up the points. So yeah, Akira Ioane, well done. Congrats.
Mm-hmm. Bodes well for the next few games to see what kind of heights he does kind of get to, big Akira. Should we look at the prediction? Should we do the highlights or do we want to have a look at the predictions for round 12? What do you guys reckon?
Do the highlight, finish on the predictions, then it moves us into the final next week.
Yeah. Good call. Felix, what was your highlight at the weekend?
Oh, look, I've already mentioned it. I can't go past Rob Valentini's chip and chase try. That's, for me, top notch. So no one's beating that.
And what about you, Anthony?
Mine was the...
at the moment.
The Drewer try, one of those Drewer tries. Just trying to think who scored it. One of the end-to-ends. Not the first one that was scored by the halfback. But the one towards the end, sorry, it's been lost on me and I've lost my note on who scored it, but another fantastic end-to-end try from them.
Habossi. Vinaya Habossi.
Vinaya Habossi.
Yeah, I mean, that was really quite something, quite electric, I thought.
Certainly indicative of what kind of X-factor some of those players have. amongst the draw. And finally, Scott, what was the moment, the highlight, the skill that kind of that turned your head over the weekend?
Yeah, I think one that was really impressive was Isaiah Parisi's silky offload for the Tars' second try, actually. And it has to go to this fella, doesn't it? All right, to their winger, Mark.
Oh, shit. Got him.
Who gave me the setup here? You guys are talking offline. Mark N on the wing. Yeah. Nawakin. Nawakin. Oh, jeez.
Say it.
Nawaka Nitawase. Oh, he's a nightmare for the commentator. Oh, no, bugger it. Okay, how do you do it, Felix? Help us out here.
Nawaka needs a wasi.
Nawaka needs a wasi. Okay.
Yeah.
Get the rhythm.
Bro, the Aussie commentators have got it unlocked, man.
How long do you reckon they practice for? Yeah.
Bro, too long. Nawaka needs a wasi.
Nawaka needs a wasi.
Yeah.
And once they nail the name, they just want him to get involved in the game that much more as well. So they can say,
what is it? Use it five times and you remember.
Oh, bro, they must have been so nervous when the first like Fijian and Drua game came round. They, Umbosi. No, good skill. Yes. Love it.
Yeah, and a great name to boot, clearly, amongst many highlights at the weekend. So that kind of leads us to round 12. We're looking at this weekend. So Blues Rebels.
Blues Rebels, Blues any day. I'm going to smoke them.
What about you, Anthony?
Blues, yeah. Well, I'd say Blues for sure.
Blues.
Do we need predictions from the host?
Yeah, go on. Make it interesting.
Okay. Yeah, Blues. Definitely Blues. Let's go the Reds and the Highlanders. Can the Highlanders produce a ball over here?
Felix? Nah, I've got the Reds, eh?
I reckon the Highlanders.
Ooh.
They'll get up for it. Don't you worry. Reds will just carry on their awful woes. Drop the ball, build discipline. Highlanders will just kick to the corner.
Is it in Dunners or?
I think it's in Brisbane.
Suncorp Stadium.
Oh, bugger. I'd probably have to go Reds then. Unfortunately, I really want the Highlanders to win, but yeah, I have to go Reds.
But Scotty, you're picking the Highlanders.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
They're desperate.
Moana Pacifica and the Waratahs.
Waratahs, man, they're on form at the moment, and too many holes in that Moana Pacifica side, so I'm going with the Waratahs.
Anthony?
I'd have to go with the Tars too, especially after last week. They'll be on a big high, and if they can carry that form through, they'll be running through Moana Pacifica, I think. Well, not running through them, but they'll definitely be putting a few points on them, I would say.
Yep.
I think the Tars have proved they can deal with physicality. So.
Yeah, I'm picking Waratahs as well. And we move to the Chiefs and Brumbies. This will be a pretty good game, I reckon.
Yeah, man.
How do you see this one playing out for Felix?
I see the Brumbies upsetting, eh? I think they can go three in a row. They're just on hot form at the moment. And they're a team real similarly built to the Chiefs. I can actually see this being a game of force back for a little while. But, yeah, Brumbies at the moment, hard to beat. So it'll be close. But, yeah, they are the premier team in Aussie. So watch this space, man.
How you see this one transpiring, Anthony?
Yeah, I'd have to much to agree with Felix there. I'd say Brumbies are the same team at the moment. But I would hope the Chiefs get up. In saying that, I'm actually going to go for the Chiefs. I think the Brumbies are going to win. I think the Brumbies are going to win, but I'm going to go for the Chiefs.
I mean, he's got.
This is a hard one. Yeah, I'm going to sit with the Brumbies.
I think the Chiefs by a very slender margin. And force Crusaders. Surely the Crusaders don't drop two in a row. What do you reckon, Felix?
Yeah, Crusaders will bounce back, man. They got this.
How about you, Anthony?
Yeah, I think the Crusaders are out to hand the force a bit of a strumming, to be honest with you. I think they'll really come out and look to prove to people that they are a championship-winning side, and that last week was nothing to worry about.
Crusaders.
Last week in a blip. Yep, there you go. Yeah.
4-0 again.
Yeah, Crusaders as well. And finally, Hurricanes and the Drua. Goodness me, I'm looking forward to the opening stanza of this particular game. Felix, can the Canes bounce back?
They have to. They have to, restore some faith in their fan base. and come out with a convincing win. I think the Drua they're probably feeling like they can deal to the Hurricanes this weekend, but I think ultimately they'll need to make they being the Hurricanes will need to make adjustments and field a stronger side than what they did last weekend.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Anthony? Do the Canes get their campaign back on track?
Yeah, I really hope so. I think the Drua can really cause an upset. They come to play, and if they play like they did on the weekend, I think there's every possibility that they'll win. I think if we don't sort out our woes out at first five, then we haven't really got a chance of beating anyone decent.
Yep.
But I'll go for the Canes for sure.
And how about you, Scotty?
Yeah, I'm picking the Canes, mate. They'll get it done. Don't you worry.
Yeah, Hurricanes for me as well. It won't be, definitely won't be easy. I just hope that the Garden Bishop family haven't been listening to this episode. So it's all love. It's all love at the end of the day. But again, I cannot wait for this weekend to see how it all pans out. That's all we have time for on the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Thank you so much, especially to Anthony Cucurillo. Wonderful performance on debut. On behalf of me, Adam Burns, Felix Filippo, Scott Poynton, and Anthony Cucurillo, we look forward to your company the next edition as we sign off. Ka kite.
You guys.
Bye. Later.